episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to smell like beans.
Ooh.
Oh, that's horrible.
I really hope I'm in a particular place with this one.
Oh my God.
First, Robin Langenhop.
Oh, thank the Lord. I'm Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid, and I'm not a bean person, believe it or not. That's all I got.
Fair.
Next, Max Weinberg.
Ooh, that's nice to not be the person you think is the most like beans. Max playing Wyatt Forsythe.
And last, and certainly not least, Rowan McStay.
Hi there, I'm Rowan McStay playing Solomon Breyer. And I guess like that's kind of how I get protein because I don't eat meat. So I end up with a lot of beans.
Yeah.
I will say the other day, Imani Russell, friend of the pod, and Zora Lee Copeland, if you're into Cam Craven, knocked on my bedroom door the other evening and said, "Can I give you a present?" And I said, "Sure." And they walked to me with a closed fist and said, "What? Close your eyes and stick out your fist." And I stuck out my hand, and into my hand, they dropped a wet bean.
Was it cooked?
Yeah, it was cooked. They just made like beans of some kind, and they just dropped a wet bean.
Just
wet,
a
crusty bean into
loose
my
bean
into my palm.
Did this
That's
bean
great.
Begin an adventure?
You know, I have yet to be able to know. I put it outside. I planted it outside, so we'll see.
Okay, great.
With that, let's dive right in. Last time on Mage Hand High Five, the Battle of Twin River was in full force. After attempting to take on the Bastion solo, Salome rendezvoused with Captain Odette, Wyatt, Portens, and Charlie. Together, you hatched a plan to take down the Peacemaker from the inside. In carrying out the plan, however, the Bastion caught up to you and killed Odette. Salome, you returned to the duel to stall for time, while Wyatt began to superheat the boiler to destroy the engine. Meanwhile, Hayden delved deeper into Rat's mind, defending him through his darkest memories from the stone's attacks. Where we last left off, Rat finally overcame his self-doubt, destroying the shadow with his father's knife. So where you are now, Hayden, you are still in this memory of Threed. You are still in this alley. Rat has just destroyed this shadow rat stone creature that has been plaguing you and him. And now this child is just standing before you weeping.
I mean, I had a mission I was on before just to create the strongest connection possible. And I have no reason to believe that isn't the right way to go now. So I will come up to this little kid, this version of Rat that I had never met before, but fills in a lot of blanks. And I will scoop him up into my arms and bring him towards the Piper's Den.
As you go, you feel the world around you shifting as if everything else is starting to close off. As if from the docks to this alley to the Piper's Den is the natural progression of events and is in fact the events of Rat's life leading up to this.
Ooh.
And you head down into the Piper's Den. Wyatt, you are in the doorway of the train. 30 feet ahead of you is the Bastion, who is tripping over himself right now. You're not really sure what's happening. You see him trip twice, and you see Salome is doing her best in this fight against him. The door to the train, to the engine is a little bit behind you, and to your right, you know there are still four guys in there, two riflemen, a fireman, and an engineer. What do you do?
So Wyatt runs into the middle of the room. So he's 30 feet from... So he's within 30 feet of the people at the end and within 30 feet of the rifleman and just starts like screaming like he's charging up energy.
Little anime boy.
And then releases his channel divinity, which is Radiance of the Dawn. And I need all of those people to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh my God.
16.
I love having area of effect people now. It's so good.
Yes.
Rifleman first. It's not looking good for them.
All right. Come on, Wyatt.
The engineer saves. Everyone else fails.
Great. So it's going to be 2d10 plus 8.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be 15 radiant damage to everyone that failed and 7 to the guy that saved.
Okay.
Nice. That's great.
The riflemen are immediately bad. Because they already took the damage from the previous, from the firebolt.
Mm-hmm.
They're both on their last legs. The fireman is gone.
Oh, God.
You don't see him anymore. His shovel drops, just clatters to the ground.
Yeah!
And he's gone.
I'm alive!
The engineer throws up his hands and says,
No! No, please, no. I'm done.
Shovel.
I don't have a shovel.
I blew up the shovel.
The engineer was not holding a shovel. The fireman was, but now that there is no fireman to hold the shovel, it drops to the ground.
Can you put the coal in the thing?
Can I put the coal in the thing? No, yeah. If I do that, it'll blow up.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
You can run away.
Okay,
on his turn, he's going to run past you and leave.
And then to finish my turn, I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon again, right next to the guards.
Okay.
Because surprisingly, that Radiant Dawn ability is not a spell, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So I can cast a spell, and I'm going to put it right next to one of the riflemen and make an attack with the whip.
Okay.
Rawhide.
Rawhide.
It's a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that's gonna hit. Roll some damage.
That's gonna be 1d8 plus 5. That's a 2, so that's gonna be 7 damage.
All right.
You whip crack, and he collapses.
It's like a cartoonish whip crack from inside the train. Like a...
The other sharpshooter is still standing, but the guy next to him collapses. And that guy is holding a rifle in his hands, like, just watch three of his comrades, like, get downed.
By a child.
Yeah, by a little baby child.
That's
little baby
that's
child.
My turn.
I find it hard to believe this is his first time killing. Like, my first time stressed me out a lot more.
You say to the Bastion.
Yeah, I'm just musing to the Bastion. I think that kid might be born to kill.
As you say that, there's flames in Wyatt's eyes.
Yeah, he's going all anime.
Next is the turning mill. You see it swing towards you, Salome. However, you're in combat with the Bastion, and it can't fire on both of you because it will hit the Bastion if it hits you.
Nice. I take a cue from the bodyguard in Providence and flip it the double bird.
It delays its action so that as soon as one of you leaves the other, it will fire.
Oh, shit. Okay. I slowly pull the fingers back.
Great. Next.
I'm like a next with Casey clearly rolling something
just
that we
clearly
can't
rolling
know.
Death saves for everybody. God.
Salome, it is your turn.
See, I wasn't that close to Wyatt in the initiative order, Casey. What happened?
Things are happening outside of your radius of knowledge.
Can I get like a better view at all of where Portens was hiding now?
Not really. The Bastion is still standing in the same place as before over Captain Odette's body. And the place where Portens was is behind a market stall. like an overturned market stall, so you can't really see where he is right now.
All right. I'll just call over then toward where they were. Professor Charlie, y'all over there?
No response.
I'm scared. Okay. I am going to take 2 attacks on the Bastion.
Okay.
That is a 2 and a 1.
Not ideal.
Yeah.
You also trip.
I also trip. Yeah, I get caught up in the vines that grew up around the Bastion's feet.
Are you attacking with your sword?
Yeah, with Thaddeus's cavalry saber. Yeah.
Okay. On the 1, as you come down, it hits the Bastion shield, the tower shield, and you hear a splinter.
Shit. Okay.
And out of game, another nat 1 will break it.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Shit. I really wanted to go help Portons this round, but I think with the gun trained on me, I don't even think I would make it over there. So I'm just going to walk, like rotate around the Bastion to try to put him between the rotary cannon and me.
Okay. Next in the order are the boys on the train.
Train boys.
The Ooh. Rifleman is, yeah, he's gonna try and shoot you.
But I'm a child.
I'm just a baby.
Ooh, that is a 24 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
You take 14 points of piercing damage.
Yikes.
As what is essentially a sniper round hits you in the side. The engineer picks up the shovel, is going to move, and on his way past you, Wyatt is going to take a free shot.
Might as well.
I trusted you.
Don't you get an opportunity attack, though, if he
Yeah, but I'm
going to
save it
shot?
For the Bastion.
Yeah, fair.
That is a 16 to hit.
That does not hit.
Oh,
nice.
My shield.
There you go.
He misses and then goes, I didn't mean to do that.
Thought we had something.
Whoopsie, whoopsie, whoopsie.
He brings his shovel down and misses and then looks at you and goes, I'm sorry.
You're next.
God.
Oh.
Wyatt. Oh. Next in the order is the Bastion. The Bastion looks at you, Salome, and says, where is the child?
Boy, this guy's dumb.
Did I leave Wyatt in the crew cabin or in the engine?
In the engine.
I look at the Bastion and say, oh, you didn't say, I mean, that kid's real tricky with a fireball. He's in the crew cabin right now, probably killing all your guys in there. And I think the next thing he's going to do is try to take out the train. And I want to get him to run into the train with hopefully enough time for Wyatt to run out of the train if I can send him to the crew cabin first.
Roll persuasion.
All right, plus 13. Let's see. Okay, that's a 26.
He turns and begins booking it for the train. He is going to use his action to dash.
All right, so I'll take an opportunity attack with Boomin' Blade then.
Go for it.
Oh my God, it's bad again. That's only a 13 to hit. I'm assuming that doesn't do it.
That does not hit.
Damn it.
He turns, books it for the train. On a full dash, he makes it to the troop car and then enters the engine. So Wyatt, you turn to hear the door open and this 8-foot tall walking suit of armor walks in.
Wyatt, cast the thing and get out.
I'll do my best.
Hayden, you enter the Piper's Den. Going down the rungs, hand over foot, scrabbling to get out of here. You reach the bottom. Baby Rat does too. And you turn and see the Piper's Den. Not unfinished as you would expect it to be in this memory, but fully furnished. It is how you left it. In fact, it's a little too how you left it. Everywhere there are pipers fallen. And Rat covers his face and stays next to the ladder and says, I can't go. I can't see this.
Brother, I know you've been through plenty, but I've been sitting with this image for over a year now. If I can carry it with me, then you can carry it with you. Come on now.
Roll a persuasion check.
That's an 18 plus 13 for 31.
Rat turns to you. Takes a deep breath. And then holds out his hand.
I take it. Start walking him through.
You walk him through, and at times he does falter and stops. But after a couple seconds, he will pick up and continue with you. And you walk through hell with Rat. And you can't tell if it's the memory. You can't tell if it's you. But you hear the sounds of pipers playing, fighting, stealing off of each other, pushing each other down, roughhousing, as if they're still here. And you turn, and as you turn, you see Rat's quarters ahead, quarters being used pretty sparingly, as it is a corner with a hammock stretched from a stack of barrels to a stack of crates. And hovering over it is the doorway home. A large, shimmering crack in this memory. You see distorted faces beyond faces of Lila, of Maggie, of Dr. Merrimack, of Rat, of yourself. And Rat says, what if I do this again? What if it's right? What if I get you hurt next time?
We got through it once. We can get through it again. I can't tell you what's going to happen, but we'll go through it together. Which will be a damn sight better than last time.
Rat nods and starts to whisper to himself, a piper's a piper no matter what. A piper's a piper no matter what.
Piper's a piper no matter what.
And you turn and walk through the crack, hand in hand with Rat.
Time to wake up, buddy.
And wake up you do. You are on the floor. The operating table looms over you. You see Lila and Dr. Merrimack both with their hands on Rat. You see Maggie with the horn slowly prying the stone from Rat's head. And you see Rat convulsing on the table.
I wish I had some coffee.
And Lila says, dear heart, there's plenty of time for coffee later. Get over here.
Oh, yep. Sorry. Getting up.
You get up, and Maggie says, all right, here's the important thing. It's the final step. Place your hands on his head.
I do.
On the count of three, I pry this sucker off. And we all sing songs of happiness after this one. You ready?
Here we go.
Three, two, one. Roll a charisma check.
Okay. 19.
You place your hands at Rat's temples. Is there anything you say on one?
Time to bring the papas together again, buddy.
You say that, and there's a flash of red light. Wyatt, it is your turn.
Okay.
I knew you were going to do this.
You absolute bastard.
So the Bastion is right next to me right now, correct?
I will say he had to use about 10 feet of movement to get from one car to the other. So he is about 10 feet from you.
Wyatt looks at the engineer and goes, don't you hit me with that shovel. And is going to run past the Bastion, invoking an opportunity attack from probably both, but at least the Bastion.
So you run where again?
Towards the out of the train.
Towards out of the train, past the bastion. Okay.
Past the bastion, but I'm only using 15, 20 feet of movement so far. So I'm not going all the way out yet.
Okay. The engineer and the bastion are going to take opportunity attacks on you.
I'm going to use warding flare on the bastion's opportunity attack. So attacks with disadvantage.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
The engineer, it was a 13 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that misses.
And the bastion, it rolls with disadvantage?
Yep.
With disadvantage, that's a 21 to hit.
That still hits.
Christ. Okay. What kind of health you at, Wyatt?
18.
That is 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh, I'm still up, baby!
Yes! Yeah.
As you pass him, he cracks down on you with his hand that is literally a flail. And leaving you with...
Five
hit points. Yeah.
Come on, Wyatt.
So then Wyatt's going to cast Flaming Sphere at a third level, because I have to.
Okay.
And pass it right at the end of the hallway, or right at the end of the train car next to the boiler. So it heats it up as much as it can. If it matters, Casey, it's essentially dealing 3d6 damage in the, like, area of it.
Okay. It starts superheating the boiler. The bastion turns and says, "I will kill you, and the spell will drop."
Right, Wyatt poops a little.
That's valid.
Wyatt's going to use his bonus action to whip at the other rifleman with his spiritual weapon.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a 25.
Yeah, that hits.
Y'all, my heart is racing. I can't lose two characters in the span of like two episodes.
I will come bring you up. I am literally on my way. I figured you could live through one round.
That's 10 damage.
Okay. The whip cracks and he collapses as well. Gun comes sprawling out of his hand.
Great. And then I run kind of the rest of the way out to where I was when I was outside the train.
You're in the troop car now.
Yep. In the doorway to the outside.
Great. The turning mill is trained on you, Salome. I forgot to have it take its action last time.
I was going to remind you of that I'm supposed to get shot at.
Yeah, it's going to fire at you now because the bastion is not near you.
I do have 3 temp HP, so.
That is a 10 to hit.
Yes! Salome trips over one of the vines and her head just ducks under the bullet.
The ground just poofs into powder around you as bullets hit the ground near you, but none of them hit you.
Oh, shit.
That is the turning mill's turn. Okay.
I hate these death saves right now.
Salome, it is your turn.
I'm going to run up to the train car.
Okay.
To where Wyatt is.
Oh, hey.
Hi there, kid. Oh, you do not look well. Okay.
I don't?
Nope. So seeing the... Good job, though.
Thanks, Miss Salome.
Yeah, sure thing. Seeing the bastion then at the other side of the train, 20 feet away, I'm going to take 2 shots with Eldritch Blast, hoping to push him 20 feet back so that he'd be 40 feet away from us in total. If these can hit, pray.
Fingers crossed.
One of them is a nat 20!
Hey!
Yes! One of them was a nat 20. The other one was a 3.
The nat 20 hits, and he gets pushed back 10 feet.
That's 12 damage. Hey, my Eldritch Blast does very little damage. But I push him 10 feet back, so now he's 30 feet away.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best to position myself in the doorway between the Bastion and Wyatt. And with a bonus action, I'm going to like grab Wyatt by the lapels, reach into his pocket, grab the healing potion, and just shove it down his mouth.
Oh, that's new.
All right, here you go. Okay, go. Run.
Okay.
It is the engineer's turn. The engineer turns and checks on the pressure gauge and begins to freak out. He says, "This thing's gonna blow." He turns, starts to run out, But as he passes the bastion turns and just fully turns this man into paste and says, coward.
Oh, so you're just shooting at children and taking down your own men then. And you said you're doing this for honor.
I'm just a baby.
You killed like 8 people, Wyatt. Run away.
What, like it's hard?
The bastion says, I believe in this. And on his turn, he rushes you, Salome.
All right.
And says, I will kill you. I will kill the child.
You ain't going to kill that child today. That's for damn sure. Now, you might kill me, but you can't kill this place. There is no way in hell the Badlands ever bends a knee to Threed. Understand that, whether I live or die.
He rushes forward 20 feet.
I'm going to use Warding Flare on the second attack.
Okay.
Because I'm just kind of assuming you can survive one hit unless it's a crit, and then we're just fucked.
Yeah, I think so.
The first hit is a 23.
That'll hit.
And the second hit is going to be with disadvantage. The second hit is a 12.
Ooh. That misses! Okay!
Yeah, just as he goes for the second attack, a flare pops up right in front of his eyes.
Oh,
God. I think Solomon just quietly, like, squeezes Wyatt's hand.
Okay, so there's an ability that the Bastion has. If the Bastion moves at least 10 feet straight toward a target and then hits it with its flail on the same turn, the target takes an additional 3d8 bludgeoning damage.
3d8?
3d8.
Christ.
If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 15 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
That's not going to do it. That's only a 7.
You take 30 points of bludgeoning damage.
I'm still up.
The Bastion full-on charges you, tower shield in front of him. You, bam, are rebuffed off the shield, get knocked back, and hit the ground.
Okay, Wyatt, run, run, run.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
The Bastion takes his remaining 10 feet to get to Wyatt. And as he passes over you, Salome, he says, stay down.
Don't count on it.
Hayden, a red flash blinds the room. It's almost like a concussive boom. Make a strength saving throw.
19.
You stay on your feet.
There you go.
Lila and Maggie are unmoved. Lila almost scarily so.
She steps forward.
That tracks.
She's been a tree for a while, so yeah, she knows how
tracks.
To stay put.
She's solid.
Lila doesn't even, on a nat 20, Lila doesn't even flinch.
Nice.
Nice.
Dr. Merrimack is thrown to the floor.
Yeah, that tracks as well.
Yeah.
As the stone is pulled from Rat. Lila yanks it. You hear a clatter as the stone skitters across the floor. And then silence. The room rings within the silence. And as it begins to die, you find that all of you are breathing heavily. Rat lays unmoving on the table.
Can I make a medicine check?
Roll a medicine check. As you're doing so, Maggie turns to Lila and says, it work?
17.
You look down for a moment. Rat is entirely still. Is entirely still. Motionless. And then you see his chest swell. And he begins to breathe.
Oh, buddy! And I just, like, cannot resist engulfing him in a hug. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. I know, I'm sorry.
You wrap your arms around Rat's unconscious body and you hear, ah,
oh, yes, airways, sorry.
You set Rat down and his breathing evens out again, and Maggie begins screaming with joy. Says, yeah! Holy shit!
Woo! Hot damn, I could sing right now.
I take Maggie's hands and start dancing around the room with her.
Come here, you...
She reaches across the table and hugs you across, Rat. And Lila says, We... And the immense pressure of being a tree for months and then keeping someone alive for the next week crashes down. And midway through her sentence, Lila says, her eyes roll back into her head and she collapses.
Oh, no, 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 no. I run over to check her out.
You rush to Lila. Maggie rushes to Lila as well and says, no, 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 no. Not yet. No, 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 no.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitterton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitterton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Maravich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
And Wyatt, it is your turn.
God damn okay. it.
I'm over in fantasy urgent care.
We're all about to be in fantasy urgent care.
Yeah, Solomon looks over at Wyatt and goes, all right, so we're just getting the hell out of Dodge, right?
Yeah, and I think I can help. So Wyatt's going to use his action to disengage and then is going to give the help action to Salome using Fae Gift, and is going to give passage, which means we both get an additional 10 feet of movement, right. But you have to get up.
Yeah, I do have to get up.
Can my help action be helping her up and not get advantage on anything?
I think you'd have to use your action for that.
I'll be fine, honey. We'll figure it out.
Okay, Miss Salome. And then Wyatt runs 40 feet back right along the train, right on the outside.
Back along the troop car.
Yeah, like outside of the troop car, but like...
towards the opposite end of the engine. Like
away from the thing that's going to blow up.
Right.
Okay, great. The turning mill, you hear it... turn, and you hear it begin shooting at something else.
Hmm.
Salome, you're still lying on the floor of this train. The Bastion has just stepped over you on his way to Wyatt. You look toward the boiler and hear creaking sounds as the pressure keeps building and building. And you think you've got maybe a few seconds left to get out of here before it blows. What do you do?
Okay. Then I kind of just limp to my feet, which takes half my movement, which means now if I'm at 40 feet, it means 20 feet.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a disengage and run after Wyatt.
You run. Next up is the Bastion. He steps off the train behind you calmly, reaches back, and pulls out a javelin. And he is going to make a ranged attack on you, Wyatt.
Disadvantage as Wyatt holds up his hand to flare in front of his eyes again.
Come on, Wyatt.
I get it 5 times.
God, that's great.
The javelin sails. Wyatt, you turn back, cast a flare in front of you. As you cast the flare, it blocks your field of vision of the Bastion and the javelin. And then passing through that flame is the point of the javelin as it whistles over your head and stabs into the ground behind you.
Oh, shit.
Hayden.
Yes.
You and Maggie both hold Lila. Dr. Merrimack comes crawling around the table as quick as he can. Lila is breathing.
Might have overdone it. Might have overdone it.
Hey, Lala, you can have a well-deserved rest now. Just make sure you're up and about in a day or two so that you can go enjoy some time with your niece.
She nods. I'm going to make a constitution saving throw.
I can use my last spell slot to cast Cure Wounds.
Okay. Salome.
Yeah.
In this moment, something is wrong. Something is deeply wrong. And you feel it in your gut.
Do I get a sense that it's Aunt Lai?
You do.
I think Salome's reminded of that feeling in her gut, that same feeling when they first went missing 6 months ago.
I will give you a free action in this moment. Just... to try and affect Lila. Is there anything that you can do?
I've got no spell slots. I think all I have is the riverbank.
Okay.
I think Salome has gotten acquainted somewhat with the riverbank, the liminal space that it is, how it shortens the distance between people and... connects people across life and death.
The Briar's magic has always been about the connections between the living. And I think feeling something fundamentally wrong, I think Salome tries to tap into that riverbank space and pass a single wild rose through it into Lila's hand. And I just whisper, I love you, Aunt Lai, so much. Whatever is wrong, whatever's going on right now, you got this. You get through it.
The world grays for a moment. You extend your hand and a rose appears in it and then fades as V does. Just goes blurry and disappears. Hayden, you watch Aunt Lai. She breathes, and then she looks down at her hand. And in her hand, inexplicably, is a wild rose. You don't know where that came from. But on some deeper level, you know exactly where that came from. And Aunt Lila says,
I ain't done yet. I ain't done yet.
That's right.
I gotta see my baby girl again.
We're gonna make sure you do that, all right?
I ain't done yet.
And you see her hands plant into the earth next to her and become roots. You see her feet root as well. And you watch as glow moves up from the roots into her, as if she's drawing from the earth itself.
Yes, ma'am.
And she says, I ain't fucking done yet.
Can't believe Salome missed the only time she's ever heard her swear.
As she turns to you and she turns to you, Hayden, and says, now let's find my baby girl.
Let's do it.
And Maggie says, hot damn, let's go.
Let's get these brows back together.
And you all get up and move out the door. Lila limping, Maggie carrying her. Hey, and you do the same. Dr. Merrimack is sitting there going, what the hell is going on? Wyatt, it's your turn.
So in Wyatt's turn, he's going to basically toss a warm flame 60 feet to Salome and cast a fourth level healing word.
Ooh, thanks, kid.
Which is going to be 14.
All right.
Healing. And then it's just going to run 60 feet the other direction.
Thank you, darling.
Just going to run as far away as he can.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Great. The turning mill, you hear it turn as it sights people running away from the back of the train. It turns, you see the barrel, and then boom, the train explodes. A massive cloud of steam and ash erupts like a volcano. It floods the streets. It is impossible to see. You hear pieces of the train fire off in different directions. I rolled three attacks. One on Salome, one on the Bastion, and one on you. As the wheels jam together, the coupling rod that holds the wheels, that moves them together, jams and then shoots off like a rocket down the street. This thing is going to do a fuck ton of damage. More than the turning mill. This is a piece of shrapnel that flies down the street. Salome, you feel something big race past you so quickly that you are almost thrown to the ground.
Oh my god.
you hear a and then Wyatt, you see out of the steam, rushing all of the steam out of its way. It is flying so quickly. A coupling rod about 10 feet long, 6 inches wide, shoot past you like a rocket.
Holy shit.
You look back, see it finally tip to the ground. It hits the ground, rockets into the sky, smashes off a piece of building in its wake, and disappears into the sky. The connecting rod flies past you, and then the concussive blast of the train hits. Make a strength saving throw. Salome. Wyatt, you are out of range of the concussive blast.
Woo.
That's a 17.
You stay on your feet.
No shit.
You do take 6 points of fire damage as boiling hot water scalds your back.
Cool. I think Salome has already dropped to her knees as soon as the rod flew by and is just ducking for cover. And just kind of braces, takes it, and is like, honestly, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
When the cloud of smoke and steam begins to clear, the Peacemaker, or what's left of it, is revealed. The top half of the engine is gone. Large smoke pipes, the guts of the engine splay outward like twisting eldritch tentacles. It tilts, its broken corpse leaning heavily on the railing of Twin River. As you watch, a series of loud cracks ring out, and the railing gives way. The war train topples, leaving its troop car behind as it crashes into the Nairn below. Wyatt, you look and see stumbling towards you is the Bastion. He looks at you and you see blood dripping from his helmet. But you also see blood dripping from a gaping hole in his torso where the connecting rod flew straight through like butter.
Oh, shit.
The train rolled a nat 20 on the Bastion.
Oh, great.
He teeters forward, coughs, and blood erupts from his mouthpiece. He falls to his knees and slams to the ground, dead.
Wyatt passes out. Wyatt is not an outdoor kid, and this is a lot.
I think Salome gets to her feet right now and walks over to the Bastion and just lifts up his helmet to see what this guy looks like.
He's a guy. He's a soldier.
I think I just clamp a hand down on this guy's head and just, with Hexblade's curse, absorb whatever is left of this guy's life force. Not his wisp or anything, like V can handle the wisp, but whatever was left keeping this man alive, I take it and gain 8 HP back from his death. And I lean down and whisper, "You stay down." And then I will get up and walk to wherever I saw Portons last.
And as you turn to leave, wild roses begin creeping out of the Bastion armor and slowly disappear his face.
Good.
And the Badlands take him. Hayden, you walk up the steps to the top level of Twin River with Lila under one arm and Maggie on her other side. You all stumble up into the upper level of Twin River and look at the destruction the Jamesons have wrought upon Twin River. The tower of Twin River, its clock face smashed out, stands slightly at an angle. Storefronts stand empty. Their main windows along the central avenue shattered. One bad stitch is almost unrecognizable. Its dress in the window, once beautiful, now torn to tatters. As steam begins to clear, you see, limping her way across the battlefield, Salome. And Maggie says,
"Dearheart!
Max?
Dearheart!
Max, hey, come on over. Portons and Charlie are, I don't know where they are. They're gone. I think one of them might have gone down. We need a healer."
She turns to you, Hayden, and says, you got her?
Yeah, I got her. Go on ahead.
All right.
Max, Aunt Lyle, right. Hayden, y'all okay? Did you do it?
Oh, it was a lot, but we did it.
Oh, thank God. Okay. God, but you're looking pale, Aunt Lyle. You sure you're okay?
She says, "Don't worry about me, dearheart.
I'm always worrying about you.
What all happened up here? I mean..."
"Oh, honey, more than you know. Hey, if you see a kid with a kind of crazed look in his eye, it's okay. He's with us."
"That sounds about right."
"I think he was born to kill."
I've been thinking about reinstating the Pipers anyway, so the more the merrier.
"Yeah, I don't think he can go back home to Threed. I..." You run over to... I guess I grab Maggie's hand if she runs over and run over to where Portons is.
You run to the barrier that Portons was behind at one point.
Okay.
You look and see holes. It's littered with bullet holes. The ground behind it is a patch of blood. You see a trail into a nearby alley.
"All right, y'all, come on. He's this way."
You move. Laying in the alley is a balding human man. Around him is a small Aarakocra teenager. Instinctively, Charlie flinches. Their wings flare up. And they say, "Stay back!"
Charlie, dearheart, it's me. It's hold on. It's okay. It's okay. It's over."
They start weeping. You see one of their wings not entirely folded out from where it was shot through by the turning mill.
"Charlie, come here, honey. Is he okay?"
They don't move towards you. They look down, clutching the professor. You see blood pooling in the professor's mouth.
I mean, I kneel beside him and listen for a pulse or a breath, anything.
You kneel down and he sputters. He looks at you and he says, "Solomon, bro.
I did bring company. I hope that's all right."
He looks over at Lyla and Maggie and says, "Fuck.
Come on, honey. They're here to help you."
Hayden holds up a hand and says, "Hey, Dad, I mean, shit, never mind."
Maggie kneels down and says, "This ain't the way you exit this song, you son of a bitch. This ain't the way you go." And Lyla stands, her face hardened. Importance looks to Maggie and says, "Magdalena Barra, is it you this time?"
"Yeah, it's her."
"Hmm.
Aunt Light, I wouldn't have made it to you in Blackthorn Hollow without the professor. He's kept me alive more times than once. He healed Providence after the Jamesons did what they did there. He stayed here. He stayed here to help. He stayed here to heal."
Portons looks at Lyla and says, "Don't listen to her. I'm still a crusty fucking asshole."
"Well, that's true, but he did stay here to help Twin River."
He shrugs softly and says, "Can't say that didn't happen."
"Yeah, none of us would be here without him."
Lila kneels next to him slowly as she is also regaining her strength. And she and Maggie slowly begin healing up Portens' wounds. And she says, "You think you're going to die? You think you're going to die after the years of bullshit potions that you've been peddling?" And Portens looks at her and goes, "What?" She says, "No. No, I reckon you haven't made good on all your past deeds yet. I reckon you've got, I'd say at least, well," she looks up at his hair and says, "at least another 5-6 years of peddling potions in you." "And in that time, I expect you to peddle more than all that bullshit that you used to. You understand me?" And Portens, you see the fear of God enter his eyes. And he says, "Damn. Really thought I was going to go out a hero this time."
"I'm glad you get to go for drinks after now. I really was hoping I didn't have to pour one out for you."
He slowly begins to get up and says, "Oh, not yet." And lies back down.
I'll give him my last point of lay on hands for what it's worth, just to give him a little comfort.
Just one point.
It's like giving him a little Tylenol, but I'll give it to him.
You do. You see his face unclench.
"That's all I got left, honey."
He looks at Charlie. Charlie is weeping. And Portman says, I guess we're going to have to stay in Twin River a little bit longer to help clean this shit up." And you all huddle together in the smoking ruins of Twin River's central square. Around you lay people's livelihoods, torn to bits for a foothold, destroyed en route to somewhere else.
I think as we all huddle up together, I'll just try to make a little bit of physical contact with everybody else in this circle, and just with whatever small magic I have left, grow a little thicket of briars around us, up and over us, into this almost like dome, to just encase everybody in this protective little huddle.
The briars begin to build around you, and there gets to be a certain point where they start to falter as you encounter the end of your magic. But you feel a hand in yours, and a surge of magic passes through you as Maggie looks at you. And the briars continue. And Lila reaches across Portens and grabs your other hand.
And just hold her and let the briars cover us all.
Wyatt, you come to. Above you, a dazzling blue sky. The world spins, and you slowly sit back up.
Using his staff for support, Wyatt limps over to where the bastion is and kind of hits it a couple times with his staff to kind of, you know, make sure it's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. He kneels down over the bastion and removes all of his armor, however long that takes.
Yeah, it takes some time. However, at this point, time is all you got. So you painstakingly remove the armor piece by piece by piece.
And take the armor off however long that takes, and probably struggles a little bit because it's big. He then creates two flames in both of his hands and puts them over this man's body. And as the body starts to go up in flames and cremate, he says the prayer, "May the light of the flame guide your soul towards it, and may your soul be cleansed by the flame's heat. Join your siblings in the flame's embrace as we all wait for our salvation." And he sits there as this fire burns and just waits for it to go out, leaving a pile of ash in front of him. And then he goes and sits on the train, kind of waiting to be told what to do.
You sit next to the pyre of the man who tried to kill you, having sent him, hopefully, to an everlasting embrace in the flame. It's been a while now. It took a while to get the armor off and for the flames to die down. And you see the sun being the avatar of the flame on Earth. You watch it as it descends towards the horizon. 24 hours ago, you were on a train here from Red Rock. You left, and the Jamesons attacked. You missed one Jameson attack and got the other. But I don't know if Wyatt knows that yet. So Wyatt, perhaps the idea occurs to you that it's going to be a little difficult to get back to school.
Yeah, as Wyatt watches the sun go down and sits on the train, he takes it all in and he's trying to figure out how he's going to call home. Because his daddy needs to know about this.
Twin River. The bridge across the Nairn and the Little Knife smokes. And the remains of the train and the buildings let off a column of smoke that rises into the air, high into the air above you. We zoom out. And then we move across mountains, across deserts, and we zoom in on a small gnome standing deep, deep in the wastes. He hovers down, and his feet touch the sands beneath him. And in a voice that is and is not his own, he calls out, "Honey, I'm home!" The ground beneath him shakes as black towers begin to rise around him. Sand shifts beneath him, and then his feet meet pavement. And he stands in the central square of the city of black glass, and he watches the same sun that you do, Wyatt, set over the Sawtooth Mountains in the distance. And he sighs and says, Did you miss me? And with that, we'll pick up next time.
Thanks so much for listening to episode 34 of Mage Hand High Five,
The Badlands. Want to show your support for our show?
Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive for the tiniest little, oh, it's so small, $5 a month. You can get all kinds of fun behind-the-scenes goodies, like a whole second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff in the show. We just had an episode with our lovely composer, Jacob Kersner, and it's fun and silly and informative, and you should absolutely check it out. Now is the perfect time. Head over to patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Thank you to Jacob Kersner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be. We're going to be there at Mage Hand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. Or, you know, type it or click it or tap it, or you know how to leave a 5-star review. So just do it because you're lovely. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon, and I'm going to do it in a single breath. Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Tal Minear, Mads the Jelly Cube, Sky Cow, Elephantasma, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Andrew, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, Am Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Stoss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Oki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldeso, Jelana Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. That got close there. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the little woodland creatures that you sing to as you dance about the forest. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?